Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to start with the news of the church and the announcements for today. So we would like to thank everybody who came out to help sweep the streets. I know it was a really bad year this year. I think we had one night that there wasn't rain. So we thank everybody that came out. And then we want to thank everybody that showed up to the CEC movie night. It was a great success. The lunch munch will be going to Bueller's today following worship. So if you guys want to go see Linda Bennington or Linda Bonnell to let them know that you'll be coming. CEC will meet on Wednesday at 7, and the VBS planning party will take place prior to that at 6. The Strawberry Festival is June 9th from 4 to 7. Please don't forget, there's sign-up sheets out in the narthex. I think they still need people to help serve food, and I think there's still stuff that needs to be donated food-wise. But they're out there on the narthex and the table. Setup for the garage sale begins after the Strawberry Festival, and the garage sale will be Friday, June 22nd. From 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday, June 23rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I think, if I'm not wrong, that you have 2 full weeks that you can bring stuff to the church. Will the church be open? Do you know? Okay. I don't know. if you have stuff that you need to bring throughout the week, just give an elder or a trustee or somebody a call, and somebody will come in and open the door for you. Cares and prayers will meet on Thursday, June 7th. They're having a brown bag and big ideas begin at Tuskegee Park on Monday, June 11th, and it's going to go from 12 to 1:15. On June 10th at Dover, there will be a free brunch from 11 to 12:30 for our Texas mission trip, and a commissioning service will follow. Pastor Ben will be out of the office from this afternoon until June 6th, Wednesday. If you have any pastoral concerns, please contact one of the elders. Does anybody else have any news or announcements? Okay, so we're gonna stand, greet your neighbors, say good morning. Thank you. Standing and join with me in the watchword for the week. I delight to do your will, oh my God, your law within our hearts. Also, I forgot to announce that Bill is going to be giving the sermon today in the announcements. All right.
Then you can see it.
You guys may be seated. Sorry. Thank you.
Well, I have a floral fringe plan, but you guys kind of got to. Everybody's sitting on this side, and nobody is sitting over here. So,
please rise as we and join in the call of worship. The call of worship today is from Psalms 81, verses 1 through 10, that can be found on page 419. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud for God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the tambourine, play the harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full on the day of our feast. This is the decree of Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. He established as the statute for Joseph when he went out against Egypt. And we heard a language we did not understand. He says, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Now we're going to sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, which can be found in your hymnal on page 544.
You are Lord.
liturgy for creation that can be found on page 26. Great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
Princes and rulers, men and women, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget none of his benefits.
He forgives our sins and heals our diseases. He redeems our lives and crowns us with love and compassion.
We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sin of the whole world.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith and confess our sins. Please be seated. Gracious God, we confess to you depression with prejudice. Fear and hate rule our hearts. Sins of neglect, when we poison the earth for profit, or we ignore peace for mercy and justice. Sins of pride and sins of greed. Lord, forgive us when we feed our anger and bathe in our despair. Hear now our confessions and know our hearts.
Have mercy, O God, according to your unfailing love.
Wash away all our iniquity and cleanse us from our sins. Amen.
As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Let us affirm our faith. Please rise.
I believe in the one true God, the Father of humanity, who created and sustains the universe.
died that we might be reconciled to God, who rose again that we might experience the life of God, who freely accepts and welcomes all who come to him, not on the basis of their merit, but on the basis of his unconditional love. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who is God present with us now, who shows us our need for God, who assures us of God's love in all circumstances, who lives the life and the love of Jesus Christ through us. In this faith, I will seek to live in harmony with God, with people everywhere, and with all creation. Amen.
You may be seated.
We offer thanks to you, Creator God, for your artistry in frost and snow and the icy stillness of winter, and for new life bursting forth and blooming in the spring. We thank you for the sunshine and rain, for growth in the summer, which you nurture into fruitful abundance of autumn. We thank you for the seasons of the Spirit, for joy and sorrow, for pleasure and pain, for gladness and grief, for friendship and solitude. We are grateful to you for your sustaining presence in all circumstances, and for giving us strength through which we cannot think. We pray for those who, because of greed or selfishness, exploit the gifts of the earth, that they may learn to be careful stewards of your creation. We pray for all who, by their commitment and involvement, are working to preserve our planet, that you would multiply their efforts. We pray for those who suffer from prejudice, poverty, pain, that you would draw near to them and provide them true justice and mercy.
We pray for those whose lives are being wasted in careless living or despair, that they may find the joy of self-discipline and the hope that comes through Christ.
We pray for your whole church, that it may become a powerful agent of reconciliation and renewal in the name of Jesus Christ.
We pray for all people, that everyone will recognize your awesome majesty and bow in obedience and joyful service.
Thank you.
May we bring not only our wealth, but our whole lives to your altar, ready to listen to where you would send us, for the sake of your kingdom and Christ's coming. Amen.
I read the prayers of the people. We want to continue to lift Rick Spaldo as he continues to undergo treatment. Ted Canfield, who was hospitalized this past week at Union Hospital, and he will continue to rehab at home. Emily and Ben asked for prayers of thanksgiving for her cousin Steph and her husband John, who got married Friday outside of Philadelphia. And we ask for their safe travels home. We also ask prayers for Dale Baker, who is the brother of Tom, who is nearing the presence of the Lord. We pray for him, his family, his children, Tom and Tom's sister. We also ask for prayers for the family of Richard Frey. His funeral is today. Ron Martin's mom, Jane, is going back in the hospital for another surgery, and we pray for her, and we pray for the Martin family. Bill Menapace, we ask for safe travels while he's hiking the Appalachian Trail. We ask for prayers for Evelyn Bennett, who is coming home from the hospital, and we're asking prayers for Critton Franz. He needs healing prayers.
Kristen
Fouts. Critton?
Kristen Fouts.
Oh, Hear our prayers, God of grace. In the abundance of your mercy, we pray for others. We pray for Rick Spaldo, Ted Canfield, Emily and Ben for safe travels. We pray for Dale Baker, Tom Baker, Tom's sister, the family. We pray for Richard Frey, the family of Richard Frey. We pray for Jane Martin. We pray for Bill Menapace. We pray for Evelyn Bennett and Christian Franz. We pray for our members of our families, our friends and neighbors, for those whom we work and learn and play, for the sick and the frightened, the lonely, for those who grieve, for those who are desperate and angry, for those who are in prison, for the hungry, the homeless, the poor, for those we perceive as our enemies. In the awareness that we are all one with human creation, we pray about the issues that confront us all, our planet and the environment in which we live, in the end of war, ethnic conference, and all the violence, for liberation from racism, bigotry, and injustice, from the freedom of addictions of all kinds, for the end of abuse of women and children, for each member of the human family, that we all know the dignity and worth of being called a child of God, and for the solutions for the common human dilemmas, and for our dedication to be part of those solutions. Lord, please hear our prayer and be with us as we go forward this week. All right, the scripture lessons today, the first one is coming from Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15, which can be found on page 129.
Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded to you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and the outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded that you observe the Sabbath day. The second reading can be found on the second reading is 2 Corinthians, verse 4 through 12, found on page 808. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive praise from God. Now, brothers, I have applied those things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us in the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over another. For who makes you different from everyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already, you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings, and that without us. How I wish that you really had become kings so that we might be kings with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle of the whole universe, to angels as well as men. We are fools of Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, and we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated, and we are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. And the last reading comes from Mark 2, verse 23 through 36, which can be found on page 708. Oh, it is 708. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. As his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing this unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only to priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn heart and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodism about the might kill Jesus.
Even in our day, my day. foundations were closed, the stores were closed, you went to church, you went home, you enjoyed the rest of the day with your family. If you didn't have gas in your car, you definitely weren't going anywhere because gas stations were closed. You didn't go shopping, the stores were closed. You didn't go to a restaurant for lunch after church, restaurants were closed. Sunday, you had to eat at home. You had it, Mom.
You had to eat at home.
You had to eat at home, Tyler. You had to eat at home.
Yep.
Well, you know what? You planned for that day because nothing was open. That's the Sabbath. That's the Sabbath. That's Sunday. That's what we did. Things have changed a lot, haven't they? Yeah. So back in Jesus' day, okay, the Sabbath was holy. And there were lots of rules about the Sabbath. You didn't work. No one was allowed to work on the Sabbath. So here's a funny thing. So what is work? What is work? So what happens on Sunday if you fall down and you get a really bad... This weekend with our grandsons, and then Colton, at the end hour today, tripped over something and put the cash in his toe. So what if we would have had to take him to the emergency room? What if they were... What if you weren't... Yeah. What if you weren't allowed to work? But we gotta have those people, right? We gotta have those people that take care of us on those days when we need them. So Jesus was with his disciples, and it was the Sabbath, it was Sunday, okay? And they were walking down the road, and they got hungry. And they went past a field where food was growing. So they said it was a wheat field. I can't imagine picking off wheat and eating it. So let's say it was an apple grove. And they reached up on the apple tree and they pulled down an apple to eat. And someone said, "Oh, you can't do that. You're harvesting the fruit. That's work. I just picked an apple to eat." So then they went on a little farther, and Jesus went to the synagogue, he went to the church, and he met a man who had injured his hand. Well, what's one of the things that Jesus does? He heals people, right? And so Jesus felt sorry for this man, and so he healed him. Oh my goodness! The Pharisees, the preachers of the church, were so angry with him because he was working on Sunday. He was working on the Sabbath. Jesus looked at them angrily, and he was saddened at the hardness of their heart, and he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." And he healed him, and he immediately left to go and meet with Herod. The Pharisees immediately left to go and meet with Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. They were so upset with what he was doing to break their rules, to break their laws. They were frightened. They were frightened of him. So they wanted him gone. So they were going to get rid of him. One of the commandments says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." But can you imagine a law so silly that you could not do a good thing like healing someone? Surely that's not what God meant, right? No. I think God had another thing in mind. I think we're here honoring God, keeping the Sabbath holy, right? I think we need to do that every day, don't we?
Yeah.
But especially today, right? Let's get in our circle. Dear Father, help us to be faithful in following the teaching we find in your word, but also help us to follow the example of Jesus in loving and caring for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join in singing Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, which can be found on page 739.
Being retired, you know, And so I get to retire a third time eventually. So, you can ask me later about all that. Some of the biggest discussions we have at home now is, well, what are you going to do now? Are you going to sleep? Or are you going to get up and work? Or what are you going to do? Right? So especially on Saturday night, before I'm supply preaching someplace, it's like, well, honey, are you going to take a nap now? Or are you going to, you know, work a little while? Are you going to prepare? Or, you know, and we have some discussions around that, because I'm never really clear on, because what does a good husband always say? Oh, I don't know. I'll see if I fall asleep. And it's always, well, how am I going to know if you fall asleep, right? So there's something about rest, taking a nap, right? Taking a nap that really creates a whole lot of confusion, right? So we have a lot of decisions about Sundays, don't we? What are you going to do today, right? So what are we going to do today? I love all the illustrations about how there used to be a lot of laws about what you couldn't do on Sunday, right? There are still some of those out there, aren't there? Does anyone know some of the laws that still exist that you're not allowed to do on Sunday? Anything?
You can't buy alcohol in certain places.
Do what?
You can't buy alcohol.
You can't buy alcohol in some places, right? We heard some people talk that when we were listening, I prepared by listening to some other preachers who, sometimes they're okay, sometimes they don't. But one of the funny things is in some places, and I think it's enough, you can't buy a car. Some of those kind of things. When growing up, there were quite a few things that were closed down, right? So we heard a list of all kinds of things. Why couldn't you do those things, right? What were we supposed to do? Supposed to just lay home, do nothing, maybe get up and go to church. The only thing you're allowed to do is go to church, right? Are there some rules that you grew up with or that still you have now that you're not allowed to do on Sunday? What don't you do on Sunday?
Definitely don't do yard work.
Don't do yard work on Sunday. There's still people that say, oh, don't do yard work on Sunday. Okay. So, well, we were going to go back to the meeting now. But anyway, that was bad. Anybody else have, what are some things you go, oh, I better do not that because God's going to say, oh, I saw you, right? And you're going to get that. How many guys says, I'm going to, oh, I see what you did, and you cowboy guy, you can say, how's a little clue, how's about that? You know, because you did something you weren't supposed to do. But if we do things, do we feel guilty on Sunday if we do some things? Maybe if you're more mature in here, you go, no, it's not Sunday. I'm not really supposed to be doing that or not. So what things do we do and what things do we don't do, right? Well, I bet many of us go along and we're doing all kinds of work. Man, I just need a break. Right? I just need a break. I gotta take a break. And it's not hard to do to kick back, lay your hammock, especially on these nice days right now, and just take that nap, right? Because we call this the Sabbath, don't we? Right? We Christians, Sunday's the Sabbath. Right? It's the day of rest. God said we're supposed to rest, right? And the simplest statements about the Sabbath, we heard the different ones. One is from Deuteronomy that we heard, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Or the one from Exodus says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You know what's really interesting? If you look in the passages of where the 10 words, or what we know as the 10 commandments are, the longest paragraphs explaining what the commandment or the word is about is always about keeping the Sabbath. Here, I'll show you my notes here. A little scribbly. This is scripture. These are the two passages from Exodus and Deuteronomy that talk about how you keep the Sabbath. They must have had a lot of problems. seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work. Your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. That's a really long explanation about that one commandment, quote unquote, right? Deuteronomy is even longer. It says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God has commanded. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your town, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember, you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why do you think those early rabbis and in respect had to expand and explain the Sabbath? It's the longest explanation of any of the commandments. I thought that was a kind of interesting learning experience, right? Well, even Exodus and Deuteronomy have different ways of looking at it. You know, not always close to the eyes, the fact that the Exodus uses the verb zakar, right? That's really exciting, a little language in that too. The Hebrew zakar. Zakar means to remember or to call to mind. And then you could take that and go, oh yeah, the Sabbath, that's really cool. I think I'll remember the Sabbath. Oh, yeah, I better put it down on my notes. Sabbath, right? So we have this the idea of we're calling it to mind, but in Deuteronomy, it seems to give it a little more importance, and it says the word is observe, which is the shamar, which means to keep. To keep. Or more than that, it means to continue to cause yourself to go in a course of action. So there's something more to that, isn't there? You got to go. It's a radical kind of thing, and really a radical thing in the ancient world. We don't get it right now, but in the ancient world, you know, everyone worked. Well, you're not supposed to stop working. That's stupid. Right? So Judaism was a huge departure from what everyone else was doing when they said, hey, you guys got to take a rest. Even your animals. Right? Even your animals. And so it was a day of restoration. Right? It was a day of restoration. A day of recouping. Right? From all that you had done to do what? To get ready for the next thing you're going to do. It's not just to rest. But it's to rest and contemplate and re-energize. What's the next thing that we're going to do for God? That's what Sabbath was all about, right? It was a totally different kind of thing. It was liberation, right? Where Exodus refers back to creation and God resting and creating something holy on the day of rest, the seventh day, right? In Exodus, they are to remember and observe because they were liberated. So the Sabbath was to remind us of the freedom and the liberation we have and whatever encumbers us, enslaves us, so that we can rest and recoup and re-energize to go out and do things for God again. It wasn't just to kick back and lay in the hammock or do something else. It was to do something good for God, to help retain and enhance life. Let's all take a rest, right? Rest, short restoration. I like that part. And then we get to Jesus, right? And Jesus walking along. No, it's not the first time he did something on the Sabbath day, quote unquote. Right? He's done it many times up to this point, and this is still early in his ministry, but already, just by the second chapter up there, he's getting the Pharisees and even the Herodians, those two groups hated each other, even they got them on the same side because they both hate Jesus, right? You ever get that where these two groups hate each other, but hey, there's that third thing, let's so upset about was not really that Jesus was healing or his disciples were picking kernels of grain off of the wheat stalks.
Would you like to go out and just pick a few kernels of grain off of the wheat and start munching on it?
That'd be kind of back to nature, right? Eating those hearty grains, right? So he said, would he just simply pick grains of wheat and start chewing on them? I don't know. It probably the implication is you're going to pick the grain, or grinding it into flour, or going to make something. That's a lot of work, right? So if you think about the extension of that, maybe there's something to that. And they weren't working. They were actually just gleaning what was left over, which was a great commandment that the Jews knew that they were not supposed to harvest everything. They were supposed to leave a little for those who were traveling the poor. So it's not that the disciples were picking grain. It's not any of that. That wasn't the problem. It's what Jesus said after that. Right? He says, you know, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. What? The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what incensed them so much, is Jesus' claim to be, in a sense, God. They didn't like that at all. The word in Greek is kurios, okay? And the word kurios in Greek in the New Testament is really the word that substituted for the word that you never said in Hebrew, and that was Yahweh. It was the word, it was the name not to be spoken, Yahweh. So they put in other words. So in your Bible, if you look and you see Lord with small caps, big cap and small, that was probably the reference to Yahweh. And so, since you didn't say it, they substitute another word, Kyrios. So Jesus was making a statement that we don't get quite as much as they might have, and that is that he was claiming to be God. Jesus was part of the Creator God. So, of course, he's Lord over everything, including the Sabbath, which was a very special gift of love to creation. Not just people, but creation. The Sabbath was not made for man. The Sabbath was made for man, not mankind. That was the first. Anyway, yeah, it was made for all, right? It was made for all. So they were offended. And especially when, you know, Jesus encountered the man with a withered hand. Withered hand, maybe it was something probably from birth, congenital, something like that. And the man probably was not fully capable of doing everything that he ought to do as a man. So Jesus healed the man. The Pharisees weren't upset that Jesus healed the man. It's just all Jesus said was, stick out your hand. We don't know what happened after that, but something happened, right? Restoration. That's what Sabbath was all about. And that's what Jesus was so upset about. They're trying to pick about the law, and Jesus says, no, you know better than I do that there's all kinds of contingencies in Jewish law that says, you know, if a guy needs a band-aid, put it on us. The rabbis all knew that. It wasn't what they're arguing about. But it was Jesus' claim to be who he is, the Messiah. That's what got them so upset. Right? So sometimes doing the wrong thing according to culture and society and law and rules and all that is the right thing to do. Right? When I first thought of that, one of the first things that came to mind was that song that first sung by Luther Ingram. Right? He's loving you and it's wrong and I don't want to be right. No, I'm not going to use that. So get that out of your mind. That song has horrible lyrics and a horrible plot and a horrible context. Right? Don't do what that song says to do. That's not what we're talking about. Right? Get it out of your mind. Now you all have to go home and look it up. Because it was sung by Luther Ingram in 72, Tom Jones in 98, 73, Rod Stewart in 77, Barbara Mandrell in 78, Percy Sledge in 82, and even and on and on and on. And how many people like that song? It's a horrible song. It's not what Jesus is talking about. is about, you know, trying to make decisions about what we're supposed to do, right? And how do we make those decisions? Of course, who is our best giver of practical information on how to live life? Anyone know? Winnie the Pooh. You're laughing. There's a little quote. Oh, there's all kinds of quotes. It's so amazing to read Pooh. And there's a new movie coming out. Can't wait to see it, right? And the little quote says, "Oh, hello," said Pooh. "I better go back." And what did he say? "Oh, bother," said Pooh. "I shall have to go on. I can't do either," said Pooh. "Oh, help and bother." And that's what God does. He helps us make those good decisions, right? Because sometimes the wrong choices bring us to the right places. Right? Pooh can't know, he doesn't know where to go, but to make what we think is the wrong choice is the right place. It's where God wants us to be, helping and loving others. And as Paul said, that we are to be like clay vessels, earthen vessels, very vulnerable. Clay could break easy, and the contents would be spilled out. And what the treasure that we have in that clay is the good news of Jesus Christ, and that God loves us so much. Whatever you want to stuff in there about how much God loves us, the love of God, we have to pour it out and let it be vulnerable. Allow it to be ourselves to be broken, too. The way we experience it in life. If we just try to, if we work so hard to sit down and just intellectualize life, we won't understand it. We'll miss the point. It's just getting out there and doing it. We're to be broken and still. The biggest gift of the Sabbath is the gift of love. A gift of love where we can reach out and bring well-being to others, to figure out what we're going to do next, who's the next person I can love, and we have to also make a decision. Are there people that I think is wrong to love? I have to love them as well. Sabbath is a gift of love. You know, Christians, actually, we do a really good job. We have a good thing going, right? When is Sabbath? Technically, Saturday. And we Christians have thought that, hey, we got 2 days of the weekend to rest now, don't we? Which means that we also have 2 days to really understand the whole concept of Sabbath and bring a Sabbath perspective to our lives so we can think about what's the next thing I can do with Christ. Who's the next person I can share love with? Sometimes the wrong thing is the right thing to do. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, living is sometimes so confusing. How do we follow the law? How do we figure them out? How do they apply to us? And if we sit down and we just intellectualize them about all the time, all the laws are about love. All the laws, all the commandments, all the words are about love. Relationship with God and our relationship with others. Lord, help us to do the right thing, even if it seems wrong, so that we might share your unending love. In Christ we do pray. Amen. Let's invite us to stand and share in our closing hymn, "O Worship the King," which is number 566 in our great book. which is able to do far more than we could ask or even imagine, as be God's people and share God's love.
Thank you.